thanks for downloading the audio podcast of this week's sermon. We pray you'll be blessed and encouraged with the words you hear.
Second Kings chapter 7, I'm going to read from verses 3 to 9. This passage of scripture is to do with there was a siege in the city of Samaria, and the people inside the city were experiencing famine. Verse 3. Now there were four men with leprosy at the entrance of the city gate. They said to each other, "Why stay here until we die? If we say, 'We'll go into the city,' well, the famine is there and we will die. And if we stay here, we will die. So let's go over to the camp of the Arameans and surrender. If they spare us, we live. If they kill us, then we die." At dusk, they got up and went to the camp of the Arameans. When they reached the edge of the camp, not a man was there. For the Lord had caused the Arameans to hear the sound of chariots and horses and a great army, so that they said to one another, "Look, the king of Israel has hired the Hittite and Egyptian kings to attack us." So they got up and fled in the dusk and abandoned their tents and their horses and donkeys. They left the camp as it was and ran for their lives. The men who had leprosy reached the edge of the camp and entered one of the tents. They ate and drank and carried away silver and gold and clothes and went off and hid them. They returned and entered another tent and took some things from it and hid them also. Then they said to each other, "We're not doing right. This is a day of good news, and we are keeping it to ourselves." It's a wonderful privilege to live in Northern Ireland, not just because of its wonderful scenery, its incredible coastline, or the warmth, friendliness, and hospitality of the people, but most importantly, because of the privilege we have of being surrounded by opportunities to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ and to live in freedom as believers, freedom to share the gospel, freedom to worship with other Christians. These are things we often take for granted, but there are many countries in the world where they do not have this freedom. I just read on the Open Doors website this afternoon that every day, on average, 11 Christians die for their faith in the world because they are persecuted and die. There are 50 countries on the Open Doors watch list, the 50 most dangerous countries to be a Christian. Here, we are so blessed. This small country of Northern Ireland has historically been at the forefront of sending missionaries all over the world to proclaim the gospel of Jesus, that he came into the world to save sinners. We have been a nation that has given generously, financially, to support missionaries, who have prayed in support of missionaries, those who've answered God's call to go wherever in the world to preach the gospel. This has been a country that has had a commitment to pray for our own land. In this country, churches, mission halls, people's homes, gathering places where people have met and prayed faithfully for their families, for their friends, for their neighbors, for the nation to know Jesus. What a gospel history we have. But before any of that had happened, before any of that could happen, somebody had to come here as a missionary here to this country to bring the gospel to Ireland. And this evening, I want us to look back for a moment to a man who had that missionary spirit, who answered God's call on his life to come to this country to bring the gospel, an essentially pagan country as it was then. And then I want us to look forward to the need for a new mission impetus in this province of Ulster, but also in the other three provinces that make up this island of Ireland. On this particular weekend of the year, people throughout the whole of Ireland and many other countries of the world where Irish people have settled, that's just about everywhere, they are celebrating the so-called patron saint of Ireland, St. Patrick, sometimes called the Apostle to Ireland. Well, the truth is, many of them are not celebrating Patrick at all. They are seeing this 17th of March. It's a weekend for a hoolie. It's a weekend to drink lots of beer, wear silly green outfits and sing Irish songs. Listen, don't let the frivolous obscure the eternal legacy of what Patrick brought to this nation. There are many myths and legends, obviously, that built up around his life. But he left two short written works that still survive. Probably the most important is his Confessio, his autobiography. It's giving an insight into his life. Most of you know, Patrick was kidnapped from mainland Britain, Britain, when he was 16 years old. Well, some say it was from Scotland, some say from England, some say from Wales, because everybody wants to claim him. Wherever it was from, we don't know. He was kidnapped by Irish raiders or pirates, brought over here to work as a slave, probably on Slemish, tending pigs and sheep there on Slemish. His family had been believers. But he had not followed or committed himself to the Christian faith. And on that hill, in desperation, he was crying out to God. He saw his kidnapping as a punishment because he hadn't followed the faith of his parents. He spent time in prayer and confessing his sins to God. And he knew God's forgiveness. He experienced the changing power of the gospel in his life. And then he had a dream about a ship leaving Ireland and going back to Britain. And he thought it was God speaking to him. So he escaped from his master. He went and he got on that ship and he went back home to Britain. He probably thought, thank God I'm away from Ireland, away from the Irish, away from those pagan people. But a few years later, he received another dream, another vision from God, in which he heard the call of the Irish. Remember Paul? Do you remember the vision God gave him of the Macedonian man begging, come over and help us? Well, Patrick heard that call of the Irish, and he struggled with that. He felt inadequate for the task. He felt his education wasn't up to scratch. He was fearful. If I go back, will they capture me again? But eventually he yielded to God's call in his life. He came back. He began to preach the gospel. And he began to teach new converts the scriptures. He worked particularly in this northern province of Ulster. And although he wasn't universally accepted, he was often, he said, on the verge of being killed. He was often imprisoned. He persisted. Now, at that time in the 5th century, Ireland was made up of pagans and idolatry. But Patrick was passionate in proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus came for sinners. He didn't come for righteous people. He came for sinners. The message that still needs to go out. He was preaching and preaching. Do you know what, folks? Thousands were converted under his ministry. and he taught them the word of God. Many people who'd been steeped in idolatry and paganism, spiritual darkness, responded to the truth. Jesus Christ is the Savior. He's the light of the world. He's the bread of life. He is the one who gives hope. He was used to see miracles happen. People raised from the dead. Many criticized him. Even within the church, many criticized him. But the passion for the gospel was his driving force. Everywhere he went, he told people, Jesus is the light. Friends, we are blessed to live in this northern province. If you look at the island of Ireland as a whole, you can clearly see that even now, in the 21st century, the province of Ulster has remained the most evangelized province in this whole island. Evangelical influence is strongest here. Now, I know in the other centuries, there's been a lot of other influences that will be part to that as well. But the work of Patrick has produced a lasting legacy of evangelism and belief in the gospel that others were able to build upon. His life and his work plowed up the fallow ground. His prayers, his faith, his preaching, his weeping for souls fell on the soil of this province, and it has continued to reap a harvest of souls. That's looking back. But looking forward, I want to challenge you this evening. Who will be the next Patrick for Ireland? Who will be the next one who answers the call to bring the gospel to the whole island of Ireland? We know that in recent years, there has been a massive shift in Ireland. In huge numbers, people have rejected the teaching and the influence of the Catholic Church, and in many cases have also rejected God because of what they saw as the hypocrisy of those who profess to know God. But there was evil done and hidden under the cloak of religion. Religion brings death. Jesus brings life. The gospel truth brings life. What they don't realize is what they witnessed is not the true gospel. Because although, and we do absolutely condemn abuses, and we heard testimony last Sunday evening, we condemn abuses by those who claim to know God. I tell you what we can't do. We can't throw up our hands in horror and just write the country off and say, well, it's just slipping into almost being the most secular country in the whole of Europe. Friends, we cannot allow that to happen. God needs to raise up a new Patrick for Ireland. This is a time to pray that God will raise up men and women with a passion to reach into the spiritual void, into the vacuum, into the darkness, who believe passionately that the gospel is the power of God for salvation for whoever believes, who believes that and will go out and preach it and teach it. People have been turned off religion. That's probably a good thing. But they're searching for the truth. They're searching for spiritual fulfillment. They are searching for true meaning in life. They are searching for an authentic people who practice what they preach. Jesus gave the commission to the first disciples, go into all the world, Preach the gospel to every creature. Teach them to obey everything I've commanded. Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Sometimes we're very focused on reaching people in far-off lands. And there are communities in the province of Ulster without one gospel witness. And there are many, many towns and villages just over our border with not one evangelical witness. Is there any sense of passion in your heart? We can't all go. We may not be all called to go, but we're called to pray. We're called to give. We're called to weep over this land, that the seed would fall on good ground and produce a harvest of souls. Maybe as you're listening this evening, you're thinking, well, I couldn't go. I couldn't go as a traditional missionary. I couldn't go and preach the gospel on a full-time basis. But we need to rethink what that commission is that Jesus gave to each one of us. The work of sharing the gospel is not only for those who are sent to preach full time, as it were. It is the responsibility of every single one of us to share the gospel. As I said at the beginning, we are so privileged. With any privilege comes responsibility. Sometimes we forget that or we ignore it because of the challenge. But like the people here, the lepers here, we have found the bread of life. And we need to be faithful in sharing the bread with others. The living bread for those who are starving. We can always find excuses. We can always find reasons. But I want you to just imagine, I'll finish with this, the following scenario. It's a day of judgment, and you're standing in line, waiting to appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Someone in your family, or a work colleague, or a close friend, or a school friend, they're standing just in front of you. They aren't a Christian. And you never shared your faith with them. You never told them the gospel. You never witnessed to them. You never told them of God's love. You never told them of the power of Jesus to save. You never invited them to a gospel meeting. You never gave them a leaflet. And now it's the day of judgment, and they're standing before, just before you in the line, and they're unprepared to enter eternity. Jesus looks at them and he tells them that their name is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. He tells them that he doesn't know them. They never trusted in him. They never received the free gift of God, which is eternal life. And they are going to be cast from his presence forever. They are going to be cast into hell. They turn to you, they look at you, and they ask you, why didn't you tell me? Why didn't you say something? You knew the truth. You have experienced God's forgiveness. You went to so many Christian meetings and events and concerts. You said you loved God. You said you loved the gospel. You said you believed in the gospel's power. But you never actually told me. Why didn't you tell me? How would you answer that question? I don't ask that question to shame you or to put guilt on you. I ask you that question because can we honestly say We love the Lord our God with all our heart and all our mind and all our strength. That we love the gospel, that we believe in the gospel. Can we honestly say it if we don't tell the people around us what it's about? What a challenge. That brings us back to this passage. These men said, we're not doing what's right. This is a day of good news, and we're not sharing it. Friends, the Bible says this is the day of good news. The gospel is good news that Jesus is the Savior. He is the only Savior. Regardless of what anybody says, He is the only Savior. He is the only hope. He is the only bread of life. And we know Him. And we have taken the bread of life. We have received it. We have received His gift. And if we're not sharing it, we're not doing right. We need to share it. It is a privilege to be saved. But with that privilege comes responsibility. We must not keep it to ourselves, because all around us, standing right next to us every day, are people who are literally starving to death because of lack of truth. May God raise up Patricks for Ireland. Friends, may each one of us be one. May each one of us say, I will open my mouth and I will tell the gospel. Tell the gospel. It is the greatest news. This is the day of good news. It is the day of grace, the day of God's favor. Let us spread His word everywhere.
Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like any more information, have a look at our website at www.ballymoneyelam.com. Thank you.